You know, it is a really wonderful thing when God's people pray together. It's such a good thing when husbands and wives pray daily together as they knit their hearts together in prayer before God. It's really a blessing when friends in the church and outside the church pray together. I mean, when they seek God's face together for answers, for wisdom. When they together look for peace in the midst of turbulence. It's a great thing when God's people pray together, asking Him to put His finger on anything and everything that's out of place in their personal lives and in their lives together. It's a great thing when church leaders and leaders around the world pray together, and as they pray, they listen to each other and gain wisdom and understanding for sometimes some very difficult circumstances in their lives. It's such an important thing and a true blessing when people humble themselves together before God and seek His face and pray together. Whether it's in worship or giving thanks, when it's in moments when they are faced with difficult decisions and choices and obstacles and hurdles, it is such an important thing when God's people break the sound barrier. Maybe the sound barrier of feeling somewhat awkward praying out loud together. Regularly and in the moment, and pray together. I know sometimes I get a little bit cynical when I hear on just about every news broadcast and every television rerun, I hear the local people and the national people and international voices saying, "We're in this, what? Together." But man, it's an amazing thing when God's people take some bold steps and pray together. Wow. I hope, I know that many of you know what I'm talking about praying together in small groups and growth groups and in around the family altar. I know sometimes it doesn't have to be a heavy moment of what do I say next, and who's listening and who's judging what I'm saying. Forget all that. I'm like, we're all going to have to grow through those moments. I remember hearing my wife's experiencing this in my wife's family while we were still dating. And we, at the end of a meal, Marilyn's dad, wonderful superman of God, amazing mother, a deep woman of God, they took responsibility for a family time around the table. After every meal, usually before dessert was served. And dad would take out the Bible. What a teacher. He'd open it up. He knew just where to turn, and he would read and make some comments, and then they as a family would pray. And I got in on those amazing times. Although there was that time, I remember, when Marilyn's sister sat across the table. They'd had spaghetti that night. And Bonnie, who's an amazing woman of God. But suddenly we looked up and she was trying to get Marilyn's attention as she had a spaghetti noodle coming out of her nose. And Dad just moved right along and led in that time, that family altar. But that was a family who grew up praying together. You know, I'm going to read some scripture. And this is all based upon a text that comes from a very interesting chapter about the seriousness of our relationship with God and the seriousness about relationships that can sometimes go really astray and have to confront the serious issues of life. At the end of this discussion about what do you do when somebody hurts you badly, and this person has literally sinned against you and sinned against the body of Christ, the church, what do you do? In Matthew chapter 18, if you haven't already turned in your Bible, I know the notes went out, but in Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to begin reading reading at verse 15 to put this in its context. Listen very carefully and read these words. I'm reading from the New International Version. If your brother sins against you, now this is sin, not somebody that just offends you. This is somebody who has sinned against you. Go and show him his fault, personally. Just between the two of you, go to that person. Not with an army. Go to that person who has sinned against you. If he listens to you, then you've won your brother over. But if he makes excuses, it doesn't say that. If he avoids the subject and eyes gloss over and he does nothing, but if he will not listen to you, take one or two others along. Not people that you've prepared, by the way, my little bracket, my parenthesis. If he will not listen to you, take one or two others so that every matter may be established by the testimony. Now it's on the record that this has happened. Other people have witnessed this sin of two or three witnesses. And if he refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the broader body of Christ, the church, treat him as you would treat a pagan or a tax collector. Not refusing to ever let him come into your presence or even to the church, but treat him as if he were an unbeliever. Verse 18 now. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them in the midst of it. Verse 18 deals with people who come together, and these are God's people. And it is, we know when by the time we get down to verse 20, he's talking about more than just getting together in a room or getting together just over a meal. Could be at someone's house. It could be in the church. It could be out on a patio. But one thing that's really happening in the midst of all of this is these people are coming together in Christ's name, realizing that they are, and these are people who are fearing the Lord. They recognize that he is here in this place, and he's watching and weighing everything we say, think, and do. What I say, think, and do, what you do, what the person who has offended you, not just offended, but sinned against you, has done. And this situation that he's talking about here is when these people us, as part of the body of Christ, follow these procedures, he says, I'm there in the midst of it. And you're speaking in my name. You're gathering in my name before my presence. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now, let me try to clear something up right now. This is a technical term. This is a paraphrastic future perfect tense. I hope that gives you chills all over just hearing that. It's a paraphrastic future perfect tense. So, you know, if you look that up and you've got the right resources to look that up, you'll understand that that's a lot of words that are used to say, just a whole lot of words to say, you didn't make this decision. You didn't make a decision and then lobbied God to do what you wanted him to do. That's absolutely not what it says. If you've been involved in a prayer meeting when everybody kind of held hands and said, God, this is what we've decided what you should do, and this is how specific it should be. And it's, you know, now whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. This paraphrastic, future perfect tense is saying, you just got on board with God, the one who makes the decisions. You see, there are some of you have these translations, and this is really right on. It would go like this. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Do you recall Jesus who was called out by the Pharisees because he was healing on the Sabbath? Oh man, he did it so many times. He just really irritated these bright men of God, or men of the word, or men of the law and the word. He really got underneath their skin. And they would, he'd heal, and they're just kind of there's a grumbling all over the place. And Jesus said, I've got my eyes on heaven. I've got my eyes on my Father. And my Father is always at work, including the Lord's Day, including the Sabbath. My Father is always at work. He's never taking a day off. My Father is always at work, and he is even right now. And I'm watching him, and what he's doing, I do. It's the same idea. I've got my eyes on the Father, and what I see him doing, I do it. And when God's people get together for prayer, a very difficult situation like, are we going to treat this person in our midst? You know, I've seen this happen. Are we going to treat this person in our midst as if this person, respectfully, is an unbeliever? This person is causing great disruption here, speaking evil of one person after another, disparaging somebody's reputation again and again and again. It's happening all the time. And it's creating pain and agony inside the church. And so God's people, it's happened here. The leaders of the church eventually go to that person. First one, then two, then three. And when that person rebuffs rebuffs God's people. It comes to the church. And the church must decide to now treat this person lovingly, respectfully, as if they were an unbeliever, because that's how that person is acting. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Now, just one more word here. Do you know, you've heard the expression binding arbitration, right? Binding arbitration, that's where two parties maybe agree beforehand, this is how we will treat things. And when we finally reach, if we reach an impasse, we will sit down and come to a sense of binding arbitration. And here's what happens with these two or three people who have wrestled with matters of discipline. When they wrestle with those matters and they pray respectfully in God's presence, it's like it's a done deal. You just got on board with God. And this is the way it's going to be. It's going to be. When this sort of thing happens, God's people become conveyors of the reality of what's already happened. Now listen, how does this work inside the home, among parents? Maybe or among a couple. And they're trying to decide, what are we going to do next? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to move? How are we going to handle these financial issues? A husband and wife pray together and humbly come before God and seek his face. As they pray together, as friends pray together, God's Spirit gives them a sense of joy in the process, of peace in the process, of thanksgiving in the process, of understanding. Even as they pray together, now please hear this, as they pray together, they might have been thinking one thing, and suddenly your spouse says something in the midst of that prayer and you go, oh yeah, I'm gaining a sense of understanding as to where what we need to think about now. As two parents struggling with a child that's making really, really, really poor choices. And these parents blend their hearts together again and again and again in prayer. And they listen to each other when they pray. And they come to an understanding. They gain wisdom even as they are praying. Not one person lobbying the other. That's not even close to it. Not this couple having agreed to lobby God. It's not there. But as they pray together, it's like they begin to understand. Someone in our midst is struggling with sin. It could be habits. It could be actions that are destructive to individuals or to the whole body. And God's people, God's leaders, who pray regularly together, keep praying a prayer like I've often heard Brother Jaime pray. From Colossians chapter 1, and this has become so meaningful in my life. And as Jaime prays in one of our prayer meetings, and I heard him pray this way yesterday as we meet together in prayer with some of the men from El Calvario, some of the other people from El Calvario on a weekly basis. And I heard Jaime pray, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, as he was praying for the young adults, the second generation. He was praying that they would grow in a knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And they aren't just words. They are words that just come to life as we consider for all of us who are praying in that place. So prayers are then branching off of that as God's people pray together for these people that will carry the torch forward from here. It is such a wonderful thing when God's people pray together, isn't it? Are you in a group of people who meet regularly? Are you a marriage or a family meeting together? Do you pray? And are you moving forward? I mean, not every prayer is necessarily full of revelation. You never know when God's going to just, where you will find yourself saying, as your spouse is praying or your friend is praying, oh, I get it. And your prayer is lifted up to God in like manner. Well, Jesus in verse 19 says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask for, it will be done for you. That word, agree, is the it's a Greek word, medium-sized word, and it's called the word is symphonein. Symphonein. Does that sound like anything to you? Have you ever written a symphony? This is you're talking together, you're singing together, you're creating music together before God as you pray. This is literally the word that Jesus used. You're writing a symphony in the words that you're speaking, in the words that you're lifting up to God as your words come together before God in prayer. Agreeing, that's the word, agreeing together in prayer. The further I go in this life, this wonderful life that God has given me, the further I go, the greater encouragement I get from praying with other people. Now, this will sound strange. The further I go in praying with people, the further I go, even if I don't understand all their words. Maybe they mumble, or maybe they speak another language. Have you ever rejoiced and felt like God was moving you down the road as you were praying with somebody who was speaking a language you didn't have much of a command over? That's how I feel sometimes. I meet with some men I know here, like I say, on Saturday mornings, and half of the guys that were in our prayer meeting yesterday were praying in Spanish. And after 30 years, I've been rebuked, okay. After 30 years, I have not learned Spanish. But one of the things that I've learned, here's my little trick. When I hear somebody pray for Hermano Ivan, I go, amen. I don't know what they prayed for Ivan, but I trust this guy. I know his life. You know, I know Ivan. I know I know Juan Carlos. And I go, yeah, amen. So I hear somebody's name. And, you know, I know the word Armano and Armana, so, and then the name comes and amen. I can even say it enthusiastically. Lord, I know you're working and in the company of these friends, creating a symphony of prayer. We learn a whole lot about the body of Christ. And who can be trusted, and who I need to go to when I maybe need encouragement or peace or joy or thanksgiving. It's a wonderful thing when people agree together in prayer. And it's finally an amazing thing when God's people agree together in Christ's presence that is among us. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. You know, do you have a prayer partner? Do you have a prayer partner of one other person or two? Strive for that. if you don't have one already that you pray with on a regular basis, then ask God to help you find each other. If you're a husband and wife, set aside a holy time for the two of you to meet. When you're both at your best, at your optimum time, and pray together. Don't be too idealistic, though. Just pray together. Make that commitment on a regular basis. If you're a family, there's more than one person in your home, pray together as a family and come before the Lord and create a symphony together. Come together in prayer over the phone. Come together in prayer over Zoom or WhatsApp or whatever the resource is that you have. Come together in prayer as you may be going back and forth in prayer, in script or in a text message. Come together in prayer and you will be amazed at what you learn together. Let me tell you, folks, my life has been changed, literally changed, praying daily with my wife. My life has been changed in moments of great decision, praying together with trusted friends that I don't have to worry about impressing with my words. I don't. My life has been moved forward, praying with men and women who take seriously the words of Jesus. For where two or three are come together in my name, I'm there in the midst. Will you make a decision to begin praying regularly with people? Will you make a decision when you call people, and we've had the lab experience going on all around us, calling people as we've been social distancing from each other, will you make a commitment when you talk to your friends, not as any matter of show, when you call to check in with somebody, make a decision to pray with them, not for show, but for this relationship, this amazing relationship that Jesus offers to all of us who are his followers. I hope we will all grow and take whatever the next step is in learning to pray together. Amen? Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of prayer. I thank you, Lord, that I know you know us all. You know what we think all the time. Not a one single thing that we do, not an attitude or an action escapes your notice. I thank you, Father, for giving us trusted friends and family members. And I pray, Father, for everyone within the hearing of my voice who's processed the words of this message, I pray that all of us will take seriously whatever the next step is in learning to pray with someone else. I know, Father, that your work goes forward on yielded lives to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, it is in his name that we commit these thoughts and our lives to you. In that name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.